Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, KMOX at your service. It's the KMOX Auto Show. Now, here's your host, Greg Damon.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Welcome, 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 my friends, to another exciting edition of the KMOX Auto Show. That's right, Saturday at your service. All the experts here helping you out today, and no different here on the KMOX Auto Show. It is time for audience participation. We have time for some open phone lines today. Here's the numbers, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Be nice to our producer, Zach, today. He's hanging out in the producer. He's got nothing to do, so give him a call. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. My name is Greg Damon, the host of the KMOX Auto Show. Thanks for joining us here on the program and letting me come into your home or your vehicle with you as you're tooling down the road or sitting by the fire, maybe, having an adult beverage. What a great evening to do that here tonight in the Midwest. That is a little chilly outside, foggy outside. You don't need to be out driving unless you have to. Everybody's already bought all the Christmas presents, and if you need my sizes, just email me, kmoxautoguy@gmail.com, and I'll give you what I want for Christmas.
And remember, sure. Santa looks a lot like Daddy.
That's right. Santa looks a lot like Daddy. No doubt about that. Well, Brad Choate has stayed around here. Brad, I got to tell you, went to put the old Christmas tree up today and went to plug the lights in, pre-lit tree, and then half the lights don't work on it, so... Had to go Christmas tree.
Par shopping. For the course, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, I wore my Mizzou baseball cap yesterday after the Tigers won their final football game of the regular season. Actually was in here with Ben Hockman last night, who was filling in for our friend Chris Raby. And Ben Hockman and I, both Mizzou grads, we were talking about what our expectations would be for the football program. And we both decided that we thought, as of last night, that Barry Odom's job was safe. Because of the violations and the stipulations that were put on the athletic department, and just the fact that, maybe another coach of, higher status wouldn't want to come to the program right now, with all that going on. And lo and behold, what happens this morning?
I got to tell you, it was a shock to me as well. I thought for sure that his job was safe, especially winning at Arkansas, come up with a 6-6 season. And, It was an okay season, I guess, for Mizzou. Not sure what kind of – if they really have SEC caliber players. That's a little bit to be undetermined. I thought the Kelly Bryant experiment really went south. I was not I had high hopes at the beginning of the season, but, he wasn't the be-all, end-all quarterback.
What a roller coaster, too, if you think about it. The first game – they had that high altitude problem at Wyoming, lost that game, probably shouldn't. Then they went on a roll after that, made the top 25, and some people were saying this could be a 10-2 season.
Right.
At worst, a 9-3, we end up 6-6.
Yeah, well, you look at it, Mizzou's ranked 23rd, okay? Play Vanderbilt. You kind of, when you look at the season, you look at the schedule, you kind of like you put the W right in front of Vanderbilt, because they're in the same kind of recruiting is what Mizzou is, mm-hmm. but you think, Mizzou's a little bit better. And they go out and lay an egg against Vanderbilt. And then it just trickles downward from there.
We both sat and listened to Jim Stirk's entire news conference this afternoon. I know I just played a soundbite of just a little bit of that. And, boy, it's hard to tell whether he says within the last 24 to 48 he made the decision, but it sure seems like maybe, and then he cites that everything went south after the halfway through the season. He's been thinking about this longer than that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Odom probably sealed his fate, probably the third game into that losing streak. Or I shouldn't say sealed his fate, but I guarantee you they started, the conversation about it and everything else.
So what kind of a coach, Greg, you have a lot of football background, would you bring in? What, you know, just
somebody who's going to be a good recruiter. Let me rephrase that. Okay. Somebody that's going to be a good recruiter for the SEC caliber player. Okay.
Right.
Obviously the SEC, some people will probably argue, but probably one of the premier, you know, the premier league to play in the college football series. You're going to have to find somebody that's going to be able to recruit those players. I mean, obviously from Missouri, but from all over. I mean, and I think that's the big knock. How many kids, especially here in the St. Louis area, they go to play for other places?
That's right.
You know, I mean, well, I tell you, you know, you brought up DeSmet. I have kind of a thing going with DeSmet as well, as one of my son's football coaches. He is also a coach at DeSmet. I shouldn't say one. There's a couple of them. Our coaches at DeSmet, so we're rooting for them today. But you know, you look at their number one prospect. You know, their receiver. He's going to Notre Dame. They've got some big linemen. I know a couple of those. One of them's going to Indiana. One's going here. One's going there. You know, why not Mizzou? I mean, why isn't Mizzou a destination for college athletes? Why is it a second, third, or fourth choice?
It's a tall order for this new coach. Here are some names that I'm just running through. Pete Thamel from Yahoo Sports has a list of 10. Have you heard of these guys? Mike Norvell at Memphis, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, Brian Harshen of Boise State, Willie Fritz from Tulane, Aliyah Drinkwitz from Appalachian State, Jeff Munkin from Army, Bill Clark from UAB, Troy Calhoun at the Air Force, Billy Napier at Louisiana, and Tony Elliott at Clemson. How many SEC programs did you hear in there? None, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, but you're...
And some of those guys are coordinators, so they're not head coaches specifically, but...
You know, it's got to be somebody that's going to be a good recruiter. I think that's the big issue right now with Mizzou. Why can't we get the hometown kids and make them, you know, Mizzou prospects? You know, my younger son, 11 years old, plays football. You know, he says, well, I wouldn't mind going to Mizzou, but, you know, I really want to go to Iowa. So, you know, why?
Somebody I haven't checked on today, but I know in the, you know, throughout the whole season's been rah-rah Mizzou, is Jay Macklin, who scored 5 touchdowns for Kirkwood in the Turkey Day game.
Right.
And, you know, Jeremy Macklin, so, you know, it kind of runs in the family there. But I wonder if he's reconsidering now that Coach Odom's gone.
Don't know. I mean, he'll still be the standout star at Mizzou, you know, if he goes, obviously. But you got to have somebody throw the ball to him, number one.
That's right.
Speaking of that, how about Denver Broncos going to start?
That's right, Drew Lock.
That's the rumor tomorrow, going to start Drew Lock. So we'll see what happens with that. Drew Lock getting his first start. And I got some friends that are Denver Bronco fans. And I said, usually by the half season, I bet he's playing. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
We'll see what happens with Drew Lock going on there. So, yeah, you know, it's... I don't know. I don't want to say I was shocked, but I was a little surprised. Especially that soon that they did that.
So. Tigers won that game yesterday, but I think I tweeted somewhere along there, this is just an awful game. You know,
you did.
It just had no glitz to it. There were lots of penalties, lots of mistakes, personal fouls, just...
Well, I mean, you look at Arkansas, and they've had a bad season,
yeah.
You know. And Mizzou, obviously on the skid coming into the game, and I'm sure both teams were frustrated. I would think Barry Odom's got to think like, hey, my job's probably in jeopardy going in. So you know, how do you get? I know he's a hometown guy. He's a Mizzou guy through and through. Excuse me, through and through, and he bleeds black and gold, but I mean...
And I bet we'll never find out what happened at midseason. No. We heard Jim Sterk to decline with a reporter today to give some insight to that. He said he didn't know what happened that caused the slide. He said you'll have to ask the head coach or the former head coach and his assistants what happened.
Right.
We may never know because Barry Odom will probably just say, you know,
things
that
happen.
Stays in the locker room.
Right, exactly, and he would do that. I mean... And that's probably the smart thing for him to do because, let's face it, I'm sure that, you know, he still wants to be a coach and coach somewhere and eventually possibly a head coach again. So let me throw this to you, Brad. You know, the rumor mill's churning. Let me throw this one to you. What if What if new coach comes in and they keep Barry, you know, he signs Barry Odom up to coach the defense?
Don't you think that's a pride thing, though?
I don't know. Do you swallow your pride and still because you're a Mizzou guy, or what do you do?
I think the grass will be greener for him somewhere else.
And that's possibly true, yeah. But I always like playing devil's
advocate. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I even threw out something as wild as when I was back at Mizzou, he was a strength coach, and he's worked his way up as now one of the chief assistants in Kansas City, Dave Tobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to a friend of mine, would Dave Tobe consider this job? And he's like, you know, once you get to the NFL, why come back? You're making the coin and you're living the good lifestyle and, you know, your name's come up for interviews as a head coach. Why would you want to go back down and be a head coach at Mizzou?
Well, then why isn't Nick Saban an NFL coach?
True.
You know what I mean? So there's something that, and I'm not going to say this in the NFL. This is just, again, this is my opinion, okay? But this is my opinion. If you look at all of sports, all of professional sports, okay, the coach is not the highest paid person on that team. So if there's a rift with him and the team, or there's a losing streak, who is the one to get cut first?
That's right.
You know what I mean? So the coach is always the scapegoat no matter what. Sometimes the players quit on him. I mean, you know, there's only so much coaching you can do. You know, at some point the players have to play.
Right.
You know, at some point you go, so you know, my younger son, we played in the Super Bowl here a couple weeks ago, and me and some of the other coaches were talking, and it's like, you know, look, there's nothing else I can give you. You know, there's nothing else I can train you with. There's nothing else I can do. It is your time. It is your time to step up and be the victor. It's your time. So at some point in time, the player's got to play, and that's for all sports.
So. Well, you have some guests coming up, and I guess when we talk again during the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about a new holiday we're creating, right?
That's right. We're going we'll keep that under wraps, okay. Still there. So that's Brad Choate, my friends. Hey, why don't you join us here on the program, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers you want to get on. We got plenty of time today for open phone lines. Let me kind of give you a rundown of what's going on. Folks, I got to tell you, our guest is going to come up about 5:30 tonight. He's been on the program with us here a couple times, but it's going to be a lot of fun. If you haven't seen the movie Ford versus Ferrari, you need to go see it. But Gary Patterson from Shelby American, he's the president of Shelby American. He's going to be joining us. We're going to talk a little about Ford versus Ferrari. It's going to be a lot of fun with that. And then coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, our good friend Lauren Fix is going to join us. We're going to talk a little about the L.A. Auto Show. We're also going to talk about the fantastic Tesla truck that was just introduced that evidently has shatterproof glass. And then also GM is pretty upset with Fiat Chrysler. So we're going to delve into that. But, of course, we're taking your phone calls, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-7900. 1120. Let's go ahead and take a timeout. We'll come back, take your phone calls. Also, we got some other stuff to discuss. You're listening to KMOX. This is the KMOX Auto Show, News Radio 1120.
Mama in the kitchen cooking, and the children upstairs asleep. It's time for old Santa Claus to make his midnight cream call. Santa Claus wants some love, and yeah, now Santa Claus wants some love.
Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show. 5:24 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And again, you want to join us here on the program. Real easy to do, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. You can always also email me, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com. We're still doing our poll, too. If you have an idea, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Illinois State Police Department put out on their, they tweeted out that if you were an officer, if you were a high patrol officer for one day, what would you write tickets for all day long? And we're still taking comments on that as well. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. So, folks out there, really foggy out there. You know, we've had some pretty hard weather here, especially last night with all the rain and everything else. You know, it's very difficult out there. Here is where you've got to have good tires on your car. with so much water that's on the road and the road not draining out because there's just so much water out there, you have to have good tires on your vehicle. So if you have 3/30 seconds on your tires, may not be a good idea, or maybe a good idea to get some new tires. You have to understand, if you look at the palm of your hand, from the heel of your palm to the tip of your middle finger, that is about all the contact you have from your tire to the road. So think about it. If you're driving, like last night I was driving on Highway 79 going to pick up my son, and there was so much water on the road that, yes, we started to hydroplane. My son is learning how to drive, and we talked about that, about hydroplaning and things like that. We've got brand new tires on our car, and we still hydroplane. So I can only imagine what it would be like if you had worn tires on your vehicle. So, folks, you need to make sure that you have your tires looked at and also serviced. They need to be rotated or whatever. This isn't a racetrack. You don't want to have the rear end of the vehicle, you know, spinning out one way or another. We want to make sure that you're in good working order here for the KMOX Auto Show. Let's go to the phones, my friends, and how about we talk to Chris? Hey, Chris. Well, let's try this. Well, why isn't this working? Probably if I go here. All right, Chris, just stand on hold. I'm going to come in and get you here in just a second, and we'll see if we can get that. I don't understand why it's working. Anyway, I'll get to you in just a second. I want to get back a little bit about talking about what you guys think as well. What are good presents for car guys out there? If you have any ideas, I got to kind of compile a list, and we'll talk about that during the hour here. Let's go back to phones now. We'll talk to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're up next. Actually, you got the pole position today here on the KMOX.
All right. First time calling, so I appreciate that.
Where you been? You should have called earlier.
Hey, I was over picking up steaks for dinner, and I heard you on the radio, so I thought I'd give you a call.
What time should I be over?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What can I do for you?
Listen, I've got a 2006 Dodge Grand Caravan, and I need to put some new plugs in it. And I've taken a couple of them out just to inspect them, the easy ones to get at. And I'm not concerned about getting at the ones that are on the back three. I think I can handle that. My concern is, in reading a little bit about it, people talking about breaking off plugs. The car's got about 130,000 miles on it, and I had plugs replaced at about 16,000 miles. And I'm just a little apprehensive of getting in there and screwing something up.
Well, you probably, you know, if you've had them replaced already, I mean, you will probably be able to get them out. That is, you know, as long as they weren't misthreaded when they were installed. You know, unless somebody really over torqued them or something else, 9 times out of 10 that you'll be able to get them out. Now, there are instances where the plug breaks. Where the nut part actually will come off. I've seen that happen to spark plugs.
Okay.
There is instances where that happens. But you want to make sure, if you're going to do this yourself, make sure that you are square when you line up that spark plug socket and that ratchet. Make sure that is square. It's not on an angle. You're not twisting it or anything else.
And
hopefully it should come out. I mean, but you know, if you start to move it, and you can feel if it breaks loose or not. If it doesn't break loose, then I'd probably want to take it somewhere and have that done.
But yeah, I know enough to be dangerous, and it's a pretty expensive job at the dealership or some of the repair shops.
Right, you got to take the intake off to do that.
Yeah, I can, and I'm pretty comfortable doing that sort of thing. They also mentioned you can take off the wiper cowling just above it.
Correct.
And that's 4 10-millimeter screws, and it pops right off. So
it just pops right off.
Yeah, well, I see. Yeah. It never does. But I'm just a little concerned about torquing it, and your point about being at a straight angle makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you definitely want to be straight and square on that spark plug because you know, you have to understand that spark plug is made of porcelain, just like your toilet. You know, I mean, and if you put any pressure on that one way or another, it's going to crack. So
got it. Okay, well, good advice. I'll attempt it. And what's pretty important is I know they say to do it with a cold engine. Is external weather affected in any way?
No, you won't. It wouldn't matter, you know, what the weather was. I mean, if it was probably zero outside. I wouldn't recommend it, you know, because
I wouldn't do that. Okay.
You'd freeze it
all
up.
Right.
But no, you'd have no issue with it.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a go and see how it turns out. I've never done them, and I don't want to, you know, torque them too and break something. So, okay.
Nope. And that's just, you have to remember also when you're going back together, don't over tighten that. So,
okay.
All right.
Okay. Good deal.
All right.
I'll have the Delmonico's ready in about an hour and a half to bring a bottle of red wine.
No problem. I'll be right over.
All right.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. Folks, just like that, you want to get on? Real easy to do. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Just want to let you guys know that in the Class 6A, DeSmet just took the lead. They are leading 28-20 over Joplin, and they are into the fourth quarter. So we'll see what happens with that. We got a little, I'll just tell you. So my younger son, his team, we've got a couple of coaches that are coaches for DeSmet as well. And so we kind of got a dog in the fight here as we're watching these guys do it. So congrats to them, and it's been an undefeated season for them so far. All right, folks, let's take a quick break. Come back. We're going to talk with Gary Patterson from Shelby American. Stick around. More of the KMOX Auto Show to come.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told.
Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show, my friends. 5:34 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. It's the Christmas edition of the KMOX Auto Show. No more other music but Christmas music. That's what we're playing here on the KMOX Auto Show today. And further all the way till Christmas. Hey, folks, let's welcome in our next guest. Great friend of the KMOX Auto Show. And I'll tell you what, if you've seen the movie Ford versus Ferrari, it's just kind of re-energized my spirit into that whole racing thing as far as endurance racing goes. But I have to tell you, our next guest here, great friend of the KMOX Auto Show, Gary Patterson. He's the president of Shelby American out in Las Vegas, although he's in Michigan. But, Gary, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing fabulous. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, Gary. Doing fantastic. I'm sure you guys are buzzing about this movie.
You know, it's been absolutely great because it's kind of re-energized people to, you know, maybe you knew part of the story, but not all the story. Maybe you didn't know the story at all. Maybe, you know, you're from a generation that didn't even, realize the whole impact of, you know, you might know what Shelby is, but yeah, maybe they do something with these newer cars or whatever, but they didn't really realize the rich history that we have with our company.
No, absolutely. You know, one of the biggest things that I didn't know, I mean, obviously I knew most of the story of what's going on, but I had no idea that Ford was prepared to buy Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a big deal. And, you know, it's funny. I even read a review the other day, and the person that wrote the review said, well, we don't even know why that was such a big deal. It didn't really say that in the movie. And I'm like, yeah, it did. It completely said what happened
absolutely
in the movie.
Did.
I mean, Ferrari was like, you know, not only did he say no to the buyout agreement, but he made it personal against Henry Ford II.
Exactly. The deuce.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a bad idea.
It was exactly because obviously Ford had way more much money than what Ferrari did. And even though they were backed by Fiat at the time.
Right. And, you know, so and that was kind of a whole play, but it was really interesting. And, you know, at first it was like for me to get my head around, you know, the characters, it was still a little more difficult because I was like, well, how's Matt Damon really going to play Carroll Shelby? And I got to tell you guys, he did a great job with it.
Well, you know, my cousin, he can play just about any part. So,
yeah,
he doesn't return my phone calls, though, Gary. Just kidding. He's not really my cousin.
No. You know what? It's great because, you know, those guys really got into it and they're not car people at all. But once they really read about it and understood really the rich history and the very colorful personalities, all of those actors actually got really into it. And then, you know, when you think about a 2.5-hour movie, that's a long time. But when you sit through it in the theater, it doesn't seem like that at all.
No, not at all. And you know, for most racing movies, And, you know, Gary, you're a car guy. I'm a car guy. You watch some of these racing movies. You're like, come on, man. This is so made up. This is not how it works. You know, but I thought this was pretty spot on as far as racing movies go.
Yeah, you know, it really was. And it showed, it was, I think they did a really great job of recreating the passion and the personalities behind, you know, that. Now, were they enhanced a bit for Hollywood? Absolutely. But at the same time, I could honestly, you know, hear in my head Carroll Shelby saying those things to the Deuce. You know, because I knew Carroll well.
Right, exactly.
And after working with him for 16 years, it was like, I could hear him doing that because, you know, you got to remember Carroll Shelby, you know, and it came out a little bit in the movie, but he lived his life chips all in because he didn't figure he had long to live. In 1960, they told him you might have 5 years, and he lived 52 more.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. And actually, I thought they did very well telling that whole backstory about that. You know, now I'm not.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not 100% sure that he grabbed the controls of the plane and flew, you know, buzz the.
Yeah, well, I think that was a bit enhanced, but I could also see Carroll doing that. If
exactly.
You got to spend much time with him, he was all about that, and I could see him doing that too. But did that actually happen? I doubt it. You know, did he and Ken Miles, you know, duke it out in the front yard? Probably not. But you know, was there, you know, fiery, you know, tempers going on and things like that? Well, I could see that all happen.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things I thought about the movie, Gary, was the interaction between Carroll and Ken Beebe, the executive for Ford, that was kind of put in charge of this racing, this endurance racing for Ford. I guess kind of Carroll's boss, I guess, in the movie, and really the interaction between those two. You know, I wonder if it was really as abrasive as what that was.
You know, I think a lot of it was politics. The guy's name was actually Leo Beebe.
Leo, sorry.
And he was the head of Ford Racing. But and I met Leo before, had lunch with him, God, probably, you know, 20 years ago. But and he wasn't, you know, he didn't come across as that way. But who knows, you know, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, you know, were there things going on? Were there, you know, personalities? Absolutely. And Carroll was not a guy that shared his, you know, or shied away from his real feelings. If he thought something, it came out of his mouth.
Absolutely. One of the best things about the movie that as a guy who works on cars, I really love the technology advancements that they made with this vehicle that they brought over from England.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did a fabulous job with that whole thing and talking about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, and we still run into this, you know, today to a different extent. But, you know, I think that computers and all that stuff have also come a long way since the 1960s. However, there is nothing that there's no substitute from actually doing it, living it, proving it out at the track. And sometimes, you know, good old school, you know, just, you know, gut feel and all that, you know, putting yarn on the dang car.
That's what I was
going to
bring
up. Sometimes at the end of the day, that's how you got to do it. And
right.
The computer will get you a long way and it'll get you a lot closer. And with, you know, CNC modeling and all kinds of stuff now. It's fabulous. But at the end of the day, until you do it and you see what it's like under real conditions, it's not there.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that was what I was going to bring up about putting the yarn on there. They had these computers in these cars that were trying to make it so it could cut through the wind very easily, and the computers just wouldn't do anything. Now, obviously, they were rudimentary computers back then compared to what they are today.
Right.
But, you know, they're like, just put some yarn on the car, and they tape yarn all over it, and then they could actually see the wind movement across the car as it was going across the track.
Right. And you know, it kind of validated what Ken was saying all along, and the front end's getting late, and this is what it's doing, and this is when it's doing it. You know, and the other thing that you run into, too, is, you know, how do you duplicate, you know, a particular track? And you can say, okay, well, today we can do it on GPS, and it's this fast, and it's, you know, so forth. But what about potholes? What about, you know, most tracks are very controlled. You've got a, you know, nice surface and all those. But as they mentioned back then, you know, Le Mans was largely not just that. It was a
country
street.
Roads.
and it was not always well maintained. And so therefore you got to run 3,000 miles hard under racing conditions and have the car live.
No, you're exactly right. And that's really one of the things that I love about it is to see that, how that transforms into everyday American cars, everyday American drivers, because what they've proven on the track running that 3,000 miles at, you know, a gazillion RPM and at a gazillion miles per hour, they're able to transfer that and make the engines much better in today's automobiles.
That's right. And if you look at, you know, advancements in technology and so forth, and what makes a car better today was oftentimes proven on the racetrack first, you know, disc brakes and things like that. You know, who cared until you got them on the track and you realized that, you know, those drum brakes, they stop pretty decent once from 60 miles an hour. But what about that second time or right. The third time? Or, you know, what about lap number two? You know, and if you got to do this more than once, or what if you have to stop from 100 or something like that? Or, you know, in modern cars and stuff, maybe you're not going 100, but you've got a payload, or, you know, you've got, you know, six people in the car instead of one. You know, that all is kinetic energy that you've got to dissipate. And the more you can have, you know, better braking systems, better handling systems, better avoidance systems, when you deal with it in real world, you know, what does that do? And it's like these self-driving cars and things like that. Is it cool? Absolutely. Are we there yet? Not quite.
Not safe enough for me anyway. Hey, Gary, can you hang on a few minutes? I got to do a little bit of business and come back and talk some more.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, fantastic. Folks, we're visiting with Gary Patterson. He is the president of Shelby American, talking a little about Ford versus Ferrari. And we're going to get into some of the stuff that Shelby American does and some of their performance work as well. This is the KMOX Auto Show. Do a little business. We'll be right back. Stick around. More to come. Welcome back, my friends. 5:48 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America, and DeSmet is up 35-20 over Joplin, about a minute left to go in the state title game. Folks, we are visiting with Gary Patterson. He is the president of Shelby American and been kind enough to hang out with us here on a Saturday afternoon. Gary, thanks again for joining us. Sure, love to have you on the show.
Hey, no problem at all, Greg. It's fun to talk cars, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, this whole Ford versus Ferrari thing, just me and a couple of the guys here at the station and some other friends I know just kind of been walking on cloud nine since we've seen it, and, you know, just can't get enough of it. So,
yeah, it's really cool. It's really neat.
No doubt about it. So I want to talk a little about, you mentioned disc brakes before we went there, and that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about, that they kind of come up with an idea, because obviously it's an endurance race, 24 hours a day, more than one driver, you know, doing this in the car. So obviously you're going to have a lot of problems going on. Brake wear, unbelievably, where they had to change brakes while the car was they bring it in the pits. They'd have to change brakes while the race is going on. Well, you know, they found out that the brake rotors not necessarily would be warped and everything else. So they kind of came up with an ingenious way to change that.
Yeah, what they did is they changed the whole assembly instead of just trying to do only the parts that they would normally do if the car was, you know, sitting and stationary and it's cool and all that. It's a lot quicker to change a whole assembly with control arms and everything, fewer, you know, parts, and, you know, speed in the pits is a heck of a lot more important than a cost of a few extra parts. So they changed the whole assembly instead of, you know, just like pads and rotors.
Right, exactly. And that's what I kind of wanted to bring into racing today. I mean, you're seeing some of these F1 stops are like 7 seconds anymore, you know, where these guys come in, get four tires, full fuel, make an adjustment, and bang, they're right back out on the track. Where back when they did this endurance race, that's still when they had the wire wheels, had to knock the center hub off and pull the, you know, jack it up with jack stands and a whole bit before to work on the vehicle.
No, you're exactly right. And so, you know, when speed is of the essence, you know, and obviously, you know, seconds on the track at 200 miles an hour, you cover a football field a second at 200 miles an hour. So if it takes you, you know, an extra, back in those days, 15 seconds, look how far that would be on the track. I mean, that turns into, you know, literally you can lose a mile pretty fast.
Right.
So if you can make that up in the pits and just be, you know, work smarter, not harder with work methods or something like that, you can win or lose a race in the pits. And you can see that, you know. So like you said, Formula One is amazingly fast. You know, some of them under 5 seconds. Well, how do they do that? Well, you know, there's certain ways to get fuel in a tank that isn't just pouring it in. You know, you suck it in. You, you know, you've got 20 guys over the wall instead of, you know, 4 or 5 like you do in NASCAR and so forth. So rules are different. But, yeah, all those things factor in.
Nope, you're absolutely right. How much engineering did Ken Miles have into just providing let's see, how do I want to phrase this? How much information did Ken Miles have into making that final product so he's comfortable to race in it, and other racers as well?
Yeah, you know, with any company, with any organization, it's a team effort. And so no one person, I think, is responsible. Phil Remington was a brilliant guy, and he was really a guy that was hands-on and knew what it took to do it, and not necessarily, you know, real tech savvy, but he could make, you know, he could actually fabricate with his hands damn near anything. And Ken was a lot the same way. And, you know, he was a tough guy. I mean, you know, he was, you know, in World War II and some of those kind of things, as they kind of briefly mentioned, you know, and he didn't take a lot of crap from anybody, but he lived it. He didn't just, didn't read about it in a book.
Right. Exactly. Well, Gary, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. I mean, fantastic movie, but I want to talk a little about Shelby American out in Las Vegas. You know, I've been blessed that you gave me a tour of the factory and everything, where you guys are actually producing cars and producing horsepower out there.
Yeah, well, you know, performance is our business, and that's what Carroll used to say in the 60s, and that continues to this day. So, you know, and how we define performance is always, you know, evolving and changing. So, you know, back then it was cars, and that's what people wanted. We still have cars today, and we're very blessed, and it's the best of all times right now, because we've got old ones and we got new ones. We still do work with some vintage stuff, but, you know, most of our bread and butter today is new ones. And oh, by the way, 75% or more of what we do today is with trucks.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up next, is it's not just the cars, because, well, let's face it, you know, I'm a man, I like my truck, but I want it to go fast as well. And you guys are really putting a lot of horsepower out there.
Yeah, we are. You know, the 2020 version of the F-150 that we have is we got a raised one, a lowered one, and then we've got a really cool one I'll talk about in a minute. But it's a V8 supercharged, 770 horses.
Oh,
I mean, how cool is that? So you say, okay, what's that do for my truck? All right. Well, we just came out with it's kind of a. You guys remember the old Ford Lightning or something, or like a Cyclone, those kind of things from the olden days. That what that thing would do was, you know, we took a short box, single cab, F-150 with that engine. We messed with the suspension. We got a good braking system on it and so forth. You know, we don't plan on selling many of those, but when you can have a truck, okay, and this was done with a computer box. This isn't somebody with a stopwatch and looking at a crazy speedometer and saying, well, I think it was about this much, 3.45 seconds to 60, 8.3 seconds to 100 in a pickup truck.
Oh, man, does that come with an extra set of tires?
That will get you. Well, it's funny. To get those kind of times, you need four-wheel drive.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you got to have all four wheels pulling that thing, or it'll just sit there and smoke the tires for the first 4 gears.
Oh my gosh, that's just amazing. That's just amazing. We got a couple minutes here left, Gary. Wanted to talk really just about, for folks that want to come out and see Shelby American. You guys got a museum out there. My favorite, obviously, was Carroll's first Cobra as well. Out in the thing, and folks can come on out anytime, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's Monday through Friday. We offer a free tour at 10:30 and 1:30, and then a free tour also at 10:30 on Saturday. And then the museum's open with no guided tour on Sunday. You know, from 10 to 4. So yeah, but normally it's 9:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, and, you know, somewhere on Saturday, too. But 10:30 and 1:30 free tour, you know, talk about the cars. They're in the Heritage Center, and then we've got a little bit of a trip out just along the pony wall that we have, and you can actually, you know, see and be out in the factory. So that's pretty cool, too.
Absolutely. It's really cool, folks. You need to go out and check it out in Las Vegas, Shelby American. Gary, for folks with more information, where can they go?
Just go to Shelby.com.
All right. Fantastic. Gary, thanks so much for joining us here on this holiday weekend. And, man, we'll talk real soon and probably be out a little bit later this year and visit with you in person. So,
sounds great, Greg. You guys are always welcome anytime.
All right. Thanks so much, my friend.
All right. Take care.
That's our good friend Gary Patterson from Shelby American. I'm telling you, folks, you need to get out there to Las Vegas if you're a performance guy and check out that place. They got all sorts of stuff going on all the time. That's going to end this edition or this hour of the KMOX Auto Show. We'll be back after news. Stick around.
Now, KMOX at your service. It's the KMOX Auto Show. Now, here's your host, Greg Damon.
Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our Daddy looked a lot like him. It's not the way I had him pictured. Santa was a much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so Mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like...
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the KMOX Auto Show, and we're having some fun here as well today. A lot of great stuff to talk about here on the second hour of the KMOX Auto Show, but we invite you to join us as well. Audience participation time. And the phone number is 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers you want to get on. We got some time for open phone lines this hour as well. We'll answer any question or query you have in the wacky world of automotive. Anything that you want to talk about, we'll be more than happy to try that. Again, folks, if you listen to the first hour, go see that movie, Ford versus Ferrari. What an incredible movie. And thanks to Gary Patterson for hanging out with us here today. Now, if you don't get in here on the show and you want to say, hey, I'd still like to ask you a question, all you got to do is email me. That's KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com. But as I always say, better yet, join us on the program, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Shout out real quick to DeSmet as they roll over Joplin 35-20, and it was all DeSmet in the second half. Congratulations to those guys out there. Man, that's fantastic to see some of the coaches and players that we know able to win that 6A Missouri State title. Undefeated season for DeSmet. Congratulations, guys. Brad Choate hanging out with us as well. Brad, what's going on?
Small Business Saturday. You going to have anybody call in and talk with the bargains they found out there or how the elbow-to-elbow people were? But, you know, it seems like they have a different day now. For just about every day after Thanksgiving, right? We had Black Friday.
Got Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. I guess Sunday's church day, so
yeah.
Cyber Monday.
The Sabbath, huh?
But, you know, I'm thinking, since we're car guys, we need something, you know, as well. I'm thinking Tune-Up Tuesday. What
there
do you think?
There you go.
Tune-Up Tuesday.
Let's apply for a copyright on that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If any copyright agents out there, send me an email, kmoxautoguy@gmail.com.
Tune-Up Tuesday.
Exactly. Tune Up Tuesday. I think that's a good thing. Come see your local auto repair shop. And, you know, if you don't need a tune up, that's fine. We'll tell you that as well. But see your independent dealer. We always recommend ASE certified technicians when you go out there. But Tune Up Tuesday, I think that'll work out well, Brad.
I know you mentioned something earlier, and it bears repeating, about the fog we may be seeing tonight. Already seeing it. Some people, I saw a friend that said they crossed the Musial Bridge and they couldn't even see the top of the span.
Right,
when they
exactly.
Came across, and that was about an hour ago.
And, you know, that's another thing, too. Obviously, here in Missouri, it's dark now, but when your wipers are on, headlights need to be on. But if you're driving in fog, do not use your brights because you're not going to be able to see as well. If you have fog lights or driving lights, make sure that they're on as well. Now, you know, Brad, my biggest pet peeve is lights out on a car. It's my biggest pet peeve. Brake lights, tail lights, marker lights, when they're out on a car. You know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for other people to see you. So you want to make sure that all your lights are working. And tonight is the perfect example why you want all the lights to work. That's for sure.
I was driving home last night, it was pouring down rain, and I, you know, the same situation. Because of the rain, it was hard to see. But I was wondering, maybe you know the answer to this, or a caller does. I was watching for deer. Now, are deer, will they run through rain? Will they run through fog?
They'll run through anything. They'll run through anything.
I mean, because I kept thinking, watching to the side, like, man, I'm a goner if the deer comes across. There's nothing I can do in the rain or the fog, right?
Right. So last night I had to go, my son was out at a friend's house. They live off Highway 79. And, you know, two-lane road going out there, pouring down rain. And the same deal. I'm looking around for deer, trying to keep, you know, keep my hands on the wheel, trying to figure out what's going on. Tons of water on the roadway because it's not draining. And, you know, it's all country out there as well. So, you know, it's tough to do. Luckily, you know, I slowed down because I don't want anything to happen. So I wanted to drive at that I felt is a comfortable speed. And there's many folks out there that just don't. And they were passing me and stuff on these two-lane roads. And I thought, you know, that's just ridiculous. Last night on Highway D out by Bush Wildlife Area, okay, head-on collision. Lady crossed the center line, head-on collision. Two ladies died. The other lady's in a serious is in serious condition. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you got to be careful. You cannot drive over the car, if that makes sense to you. You know, you can't drive over the vehicle. How many times do you, when it's snowing outside, do you see trucks just blowing by people on the highway?
All the time.
Yeah, it's great. They may be able to get
right
through, but the problem is they can't stop.
Right.
And you have to be smart with stuff like that.
As I was driving last night, I kept thinking, what happens if the other car comes across the line at me? What's your advice? Are you in your mind thinking go right?
Well, that's really funny. I'll tell you a funny story. So when I was young, 15, 16, 17 years old, I worked at a gas station, Quincy, Illinois, called Uptown Shell. And back then, for a lot of folks out there, if you remember, they had commercials called the Shell Answer Man.
Sure.
Okay. They actually had a pamphlet that talked about that same situation. And the answer is
enlighten us
more to go right. So now it's really funny you talk about that because I had my son in a car last night, and you know we talk about this and talked about the water on the roadway so he could see it and the rain coming down and everything else. And I told him, I go, you know, you always have to be prepared because one of the things that I learned in driver's ed when I was 16 was that when you're driving on the highway and people are coming towards you, people tend to go towards what they're watching, okay? So that's why there's a lot of wrecks on two-lane roads, okay? Because they're watching the car come, they kind of drift over, okay? So we talked about that. So consequently for me, I actually ran off the road on the highway in driver's ed.
See, I think my son, when I was teaching him, he tried to go too far right all the time. And
right,
we would hit gravel, and yeah. I'd be like, stay on the road, stay on the road.
Right.
But that's why, I guess.
It is right. You know, so that was the Shell Answer Man was to go right. But as I was talking to him, that was one of the big things is like, you know, what are you going to do? You always have to be prepared. You know, we had a deer jump out at us probably 5 feet in front of the car a couple weekends ago. And I mean, I didn't see it coming at all. And man, just how lucky, just kept going. You know, I mean, it was something mm-hmm. that we could have hit. He was with me. He's seen it as well. And it's like, you know, you have to realize what's going on in your surroundings constantly as you're driving, especially when, you know, it's twilight, daybreak, anything like that, when there's bad weather, inclement weather, and you can't see as well. You know, I don't know. It's
because
it's
the deer
tough.
Aren't thinking about the weather, yeah, right?
They're not. They don't care.
They're
just trying
love,
not to get
right?
shot.
In love.
That's right. They're just trying not to get shot. So, Tune Up Tuesday. I guess I'll see you on Tuesday then,
okay.
Brad? You going to come in? All right.
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good to me. Brad, thanks for hanging out with us here on the KMOX Auto Show. Folks, we got some folks on hold. I got to take a quick break. Mick, David, Paul, you guys hang on because you'll be up next. Stick around. More of the KMOX Auto Show.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Welcome back, my friend. 6:18 is your time. To the phones we go, and let's talk to Mick. Hey, Mick, guess what? You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well. What's going on?
I got a question about a key fob.
Okay.
I think I talked to you about it before, but I replaced the battery a couple times. It's not the battery issue. The fob still starts the vehicle, but it won't unlock the doors. So my question is, could that be a fuse? Could that be something with a relay? Or is that fob just shot, it still starts the car?
It's probably the fob. And so, you know, when you open that fob up and you got that battery in there, So there's all sorts of electrical contacts right there. So what happens over time, you press that unlock and lock button so many times, you know, that it starts to break contact right there. Sometimes you can resolder it, but most of the time you got to get a new fob and get it reprogrammed.
Yeah, like $285.
Well, welcome to technology.
Yeah, all right, thanks, guys.
All right, sorry about that. Also on that, I'm just going to throw out there, I wouldn't recommend getting a universal fob off, you know, Amazon or someplace like that, because it's probably not going to work. Or, you know, maybe from a different country, I wouldn't recommend it. Let's go and talk to David. Hi, David, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, how you doing? Appreciate your show.
Thank you very much.
And I got a quick question for you. I ran into something here. I have a 2006 Zephyr. And the rear brakes, to do them, instead of, you know, compressing them or pushing them open with a clamp or something, it's got this thing you got to turn. And I don't know why they did that. You know, on the caliper, to push back the caliper to
correct
lower.
Yeah. So that's for the parking brake, because what that is actually a ratchet. So it's like a screw that the caliper actually turns as the brakes wear and you're using the parking brake and stuff like that.
Okay, well, with the change of brakes, I can't get the pads in there down far enough, so
you got to have a special tool to push that caliper back in, or there's also times that caliper will break, that screw will actually break on that caliper, and you may need to get new calipers. So if you're not comfortable doing it, I'd probably recommend taking it into a professional and let them take care of it. Now, I'll even go one farther, David, that there's a lot of vehicles out there now that have electric parking brakes on it, and you've got to use a computer or a scan tool to be able to access that to have the car pull the parking brake back so you're able to change the brakes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So the parking brake, you think that cable is, it's actually extended because of that?
Not the cable. It's the caliper. That's part of the parking brake assembly.
Okay. But, I mean, it's because of the parking brake, even though it's off, it's making the caliper not want to go in.
Well, it's because that caliper is on a screw. The caliper actually turns. The metal piston actually turns.
Yeah, it's got these little slots. It's kind
correct
of dumb. But anyway, so you get I got a special tool to get into it, but it nothing really matches. I'm going to try another one. But anyway, it could be
right or left-hand threads as well. So, you know, depending on what side it is. So
which side of the car?
Correct. So, David, I mean, if you're not comfortable, you're not sure what you're doing, I'd probably recommend taking it into an ASE-certified technician and letting them take a look at it, because brakes are nothing you want to mess around with. Appreciate the phone call. Let's move on. Let's talk to Paul. Paul, you're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
I have a 2012 Silverado with cloth seats.
Okay.
It's getting to be that time of year that every time I get out of it,
you want seat
I get
heaters
shocked.
Oh, okay.
No. Nah. Years ago, you used to have a rubber strip hanging down from beneath the vehicle, and that would keep you from getting shocked. But
yeah,
Now everything's on computer.
You can't have that, and you really don't want to have shocked. You don't want to have shocked because of the computers as well. So, you know, there's you can usually use like Static Guard. And or some of the you can use
Scotch Guard or something like that.
Yeah, some of those will help as well. You know, you just have to be really careful and just make sure you discharge yourself. And I'll just throw this out there as well, Paul. You know, when you get out of the car and you got the car running and you're getting gas, and you're not supposed to have the car running, but you got your hand on the vehicle and you grab that gas tank or gas pump. And all of a sudden, bang, now you shoot a spark, you could ignite the fuel that's in that gas pump.
Correct.
So you always want to discharge
ground myself.
I always ground myself
off the car.
Right.
But I was just wondering if, with today's, like you said, today's technology, there's no more static strips. You can't hang a piece of rubber down or nothing like that.
It just doesn't work, to be honest with you. It just really doesn't work. So I wouldn't recommend it. All right?
All right. Well, thanks.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the phone call. Again, folks, just like that, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. Coming up next, Lauren Fix. Stick around. More of the Auto Show to come.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Welcome back, my friends. 627 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And one of my favorite guests, great friend of the KMOX Auto Show. She is the car coach. Our good friend Lauren Fix joins us on the program. Lauren, how are you?
I'm great, Greg. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I was going to say happy holidays to you as well for everything.
Thank you. Same to you and your listeners, of course.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. We went up to upstate up in the mountains and did all kinds of fun stuff, and just got back and back to work on Monday.
There you go. Yeah, I put my big boy pants on and ate as much as I possibly could, watched football, and,
football was awesome.
That's right.
The Buffalo Bills killed the Cowboys, and I screamed. It was awesome.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Lauren, I want to talk about it. It's been a while since we've talked, so a couple things that that I want to talk about. Obviously, holiday season coming up, Christmas right around the corner. I want to talk a little gift-giving for that car person in your life, car guy, car gal in your life, because there's all sorts of great stuff out there.
Absolutely, and I just did a Black Friday special, because a lot of times people are saying, well, you know, I love listening to Greg, and I've got my own car enthusiast friends or family members. I have zero idea what to get them, which seems to be a pretty common statement. They're just lost. They're like, yeah, I don't know. They seem to have everything. I have no idea what to get them. And that's kind of where, you know, I thought, let's try to come up with some things that people don't have, or you could always use one of those. Like, geez, I never thought about that. So the first thing I think is something everyone should have, whether you're going to school, you love cars, you own a car. And the first thing I thought was a stocking stuffer, or that you got to get that secret Santa gift for someone at the office. You're like, oh, I don't know what to get this person, especially if you don't know what they like. Easy answer. Digital tire pressure gauge.
Oh, good one. Easy. I got to add it to my list.
$10. You can get them anywhere. Get a nice one. Get a digital one. Don't get the stick gauge. That's a cheap gift. Get them something like that because they can always use it. No matter whether it's their car, they can re-gift it. They'll be really pleased with something like that because it helps them save money and be safer on the road. And that's a really nice, thoughtful gift.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Here's one that I thought of that to put down, which I think, here we go, technology again, is those tiles that you put on your key ring so you can always find your keys.
Yeah, if you're one of those people that can't find your keys, I know I'm not one of them because I have so many keys for different cars, and mostly they're key fobs these days. But that's a great thing to have, especially if you know someone in your family that's like, I can't find my keys, and you hear it all the time. That's an awesome gift. Or if you have a new driver, let's say you've got someone new, 16-year-old or maybe an 18-year-old, depending on when they start to drive, or someone who just got a car, you can get my book is available, Lauren Fix's Guide to Loving Your Car. And I offer everything on my website at Free Freight as well. So if you see something there, I'm giving away extra gifts with it as well this weekend. So it's easy to go to carcoachreports.com.
That's always a great book. I've read the book myself. A lot of great tips in there as well. A couple of things I just kind of want to talk on, and this is for somebody that actually works on their own car, is a quality tool set.
Not something expensive.
Yeah, I know it's going to be expensive,
Sears.
But, you know.
Not Sears, right?
Well, you never know when they're going to be in business, but that's a whole other story.
Right,
so.
That's true. They used to have the lifetime warranty on those, which is why we used to use Craftsman. But then as you get to get a really serious set of tools, I know, I will bet money that Greg has a set of Snap-on screwdrivers. And that is a very nice gift because it is not a cheap gift,
no.
But it is something that has a lifetime warranty and will last forever.
Nope, you're exactly right. You know, folks always ask why did I buy, you know, and all technicians are the same way. So why do you spend so much money on tools? And, you know, it comes down to, number one, it feels good in your hand. I know that sounds really stupid, but like the wrenches,
no,
I like certain wrenches because it, you know, it feels good in my hand. I can get enough leverage on that wrench.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's, you know, it's not going to spread apart. It's not going to, you know, mm-hmm. my hands aren't going to slip off
crack.
And bust my knuckles or anything else. But buying a good quality tool set, it doesn't have to be a whole set, but it's funny because
Get them started.
Exactly. The folks that buy stuff for me, I always put down tools as a Christmas gift, you know, and I specifically want certain things. So,
mm-hmm. No, I'm the same way. I bought my first set of Snap-on screwdrivers. I must have been like 17 or 18 years old, and the guy came by the Snap-on man, and you could make payments to him. But the thing is, let's say you buy screwdrivers this year. Next year, you could buy vice grips. Or, you know, you could buy, you know, a set of bits or something, or combination wrenches. So those are all things you can add at a later date that allows you to have birthday gifts and future Christmas gifts. And those are things that you want to buy. Most people want to own them, but they just don't know the difference. And once you use a set, you're like, I want more of these. You know, it's like having the fillet of tools because there really is a difference.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little about something that I actually want that I hope Mrs. Damon's listening tonight so she knows as well. But I want to get one of those jump packs, those small jump packs now. You know, they're about the size of mm-hmm. a billfold. And, you know, it's real convenient. I've always been one to have a really good set of jumper cables in all my cars. But now I want to get one of those jump packs. I think they are so cool.
They are great. And you want as much as you can get as far as cold cranking amps because one of the things my daughter used to have one in the trunk of her car when she was in college, and there was always some kid who had a dead battery, and they'd knock on her dorm room and say, hey, can you help me with my dead battery? She knew how to use jumper cables, but sometimes you don't know what everybody has. So if you're driving an older car that's using a regular lead-acid battery, it's no problem. But if you've got a Prius or a hybrid of some kind or a plug-in hybrid, jumping those, you have to follow the directions of the owner's manual.
Yeah, you do.
And so they may be completely different. So don't send your kid off to school with, you know, a plug-in hybrid and a jump box because it may or may not work. You have to read the owner's manual. Each brand is different, and you may not be able to jumpstart it. If the battery's dead, you may have to take it to a dealer or a repair shop. So keep that in mind before you're sending your kid off to school in a car like that, especially if they're going back for the holidays. And you go, oh, I'll give them my car. I'll take theirs. Just, you know, look a little deeper than what's obvious. You think, oh, the battery will never die. The battery dies on everything eventually.
That's right. About 3 years, especially here in the Midwest, about 3 years is about the expectant life you get. You know, when you got temperatures. And folks don't really know. Let's just talk about batteries real quick. Folks don't really understand that, yeah, cold's bad for the battery, but it's really the heat. That is the death killer for batteries.
Yep. Well, both of them are bad, but heat, yeah. If you live in Arizona or any warmer climate, you know that batteries die, but in the super cold weather, I'm in Buffalo, so we get really cold temperatures as well. Sometimes you get colder than we do, but you get that really sub-zero cold air temperatures and then the wind temperatures. Oh, forget it. If the car's been sitting there for days, it may not start.
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know, that's where good road service or a good relationship with your local technician is always helpful. I mean, even if they're going to the local college, you want to make sure that they don't get stuck with a car in the parking lot waiting for help. So being self-sufficient with a jump box like that or teaching them how to use jumper cables, it's into the tire inflation kit. You can buy them from a couple of different brands. They come with a compressor because the sealant, which nobody likes to use, especially if you don't know what you're doing, it's a great solution. I don't know how to change a flat tire. I don't know where to look for it in the owner's manual. I don't have a spare tire, whatever it might be. Get a tire inflation kit with a compressor, and they're not expensive. You can get them at Walmart. They're like $25. And there's about three or four different brands. But the compressor you can use over again, and you can buy a new cartridge of the sealant. But it's better than nothing, because nothing leaves you on the side of the road waiting for road service. And no one wants to leave anybody stuck on the side of the road alone waiting for someone to come help them.
Especially if you have a new driver. That's, you know, my son's learning how to drive, and I got to tell you, that's one of the things that I'm making him do is learn how to change a spare tire. That's got to be something that you got to have in your back pocket, because you just never know what, you know, when that may happen.
We were brutal on our kids. We told both of them, if you want to drive, they had to know everything in an emergency kit, what I call my perfect emergency kit. I have an article on my website. How to use everything that includes changing a flat tire, changing your oil, changing your wiper blades, replacing a headlight, you know, how to do basic maintenance, like change a fan belt. And if they couldn't do it, you don't get to drive the car. So they wanted to use one of our cars, then you better learn how to use it. Because if you don't, I'm not going to let you use my vehicle.
Hang on a second. I'm writing that down because I'm going to make that now. So my son's not going to like you anymore.
He's going to hate me.
A couple of the things I just want to throw out there real quick is if you got a gamer, you know, maybe either Gran Turismo for PS4 or Forza for Xbox One.
Yes. I mean, I'm not a gamer. I like the real deal because I race cars. But you can even buy iRacing. You know, and if you've got the steering wheel and the pedals, you can, if you're really serious and you want to learn the tracks, that's a good way to learn how to do it. It's racing on the cheap compared to what you and I had to do.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what my other one is a slot car track. That's what I want.
Oh, that's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
We have the best time doing it. I love it. Yeah, as a kid, we all remember Hot Wheels and the orange track. So if you got a little one, that's a great gift. Or the slot, you know, learning slot cars, you have to learn patience and that it's not always pull the trigger as tight as it goes and the car goes shooting off. You got to learn a little tolerance, a little patience, you know, learn how to play with it. And the same thing's true when you drive, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's a great skill to learn.
Absolutely. I yearn to have a slot car track again. I think they're so much fun. And, you know, I remember growing up and having just a time of my life with my slot car track. And, you know, talk about Hot Wheels with that orange track. How about this, Lauren? I had the Hot Wheels, Don Perdomo, and Tom McEwen Snake versus Mongoose Hot Wheel car. And they had this little box at the end where as a car would go across, it would actually pull a parachute out like it was, like it was stopping.
That is so funny. If you still have them, they're probably worth a ton of money.
Probably so. You know, something else I had that was really cool, because I know you'll get a charge out of this, is I actually had a Hot Wheel mold maker, and you put plastic in this machine that heated up, and it had these little molds, and you injected this plastic in there, and you made your own car bodies. Of course, today's standards, you know, it would probably kill a kid, that's why they don't make it anymore, but it was really neat.
I've never seen that before. I would find that very interesting.
Yeah, I still wish I had it, because I don't think they made many of them.
No, that would be worth a lot of money, most likely. But I always tell people, you know, when you're thinking of someone to get them a gift, think about what they do. You know, if they're really big, like they're neat freaks, you know, you can buy these like Meguiar's or a bunch of other brands. So like an all-in-one car care kit, they're around $50. And you can buy them. They're on Amazon. I have a link to them on my website on my 4-Minute Friday. But that's something that, you know, you're thinking, they love their car clean inside and out. That's an option. Or if you say, I really don't want to spend a lot of money, but I kind of have to give a cousin, a distant friend, something small, and they really love cars. I found a T-shirt that says, real cars don't shift themselves. So, I mean, it's just fun stuff like that. You know, it's always good, too. Or an emergency kit, like we were talking about. Your son should get an emergency kit for his 16th, you know, Christmas as one of his gifts, and then say, listen, this is what you're going to need to keep in your car. So no matter what car you use, make sure there's one in the trunk. And it's great to have it, because if you don't have one, it's just frustrating, you know, when you're stuck on the side of the road waiting for somebody.
Nope, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Don't try to sugarcoat it either, Lauren, because I'm going to make sure that he knows it's from you. So.
No, thanks. I'm going to be getting hate mail from your son.
Hey, Lauren, I got to do a little bit of business. Can you hang on? I want to get into some other topics that we want to talk about.
Sure.
Definitely the LA Auto Show and some other stuff, too. So just hang on a few minutes with us. All right, fantastic. Folks, we're visiting with Lauren Fix. She is the car coach and going to talk about some other stuff, too. But we've got to do a little bit of business. Stick around. More of the KMOX Auto Show to come.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Welcome back, my friends, to KMOX Auto Show. 6:43 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America, and we are visiting with the car coach, Lauren Fix, talking about all sorts of stuff that's out in the business, in the news, and what's going on here on the KMOX Auto Show as well. Hey, Lauren, thanks so much for hanging out with us here tonight on the KMOX Auto Show.
Yeah, no problem. Lots of things going on in the automotive world.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little about the LA Auto Show, because there had some pretty cool reveals going on at the auto show this year.
Right. You don't know where to start here. Alfa Romeo for the Giulia and the Stelvio, they did a complete interior upgrade, which was necessary. I love both cars. especially the Quadrifoglio, which is the high performance. So they did an interior upgrade by listening to their customers and making some changes. So we'll be seeing that coming in the next year for 2020 models. Aston Martin brought us the DBX, which is a small SUV, pretty much like a Porsche Macan size, coming in about $175,000 if you've got that kind of cash laying around. Really cool vehicle, by the way. Audi brought us another e-tron, but this time it was Sportback, so it looks like the regular e-tron's a little bigger than the e-tron. So if you're thinking you want an electric vehicle, I'm not a big fan, but I do like of the platform, not the car. Audi makes great products, so if you're thinking about buying an electric vehicle, it's one to look at. BMW brought quite a bit of product. BMW M8, that's a monster. It's a huge grand sport car. It's going to have huge performance, and if you like that bigger luxury size, that is one to consider. Or the BMW M2 CS or the Grand Coupe. So they're bringing a new product to meet consumer needs, which I think is great. People want performance, not necessarily an electric vehicle. Other than that, let's see. This was the big talk of the show. I'm not a fan. I'm going to tell you up front, Greg, because you know how I feel about my Ford Mustangs. And I have them. I love them. They're about performance. When you think Mustang, what do you think of?
Well, you think of heritage,
right?
Exactly. And I know exactly what you're going to bring up because that was what I was going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm really not happy about this. So Ford had pulled me aside and said, hey, you know, we really want you to come to this event. I wasn't going to go, but just going to go for the, you know, to announce my awards and leave. And they said, no, you got to come. So 5 days in L.A., which is frustrating. And here was the big reveal on Sunday. They were all hyped, all excited. And it was an all-electric SUV called the Ford Mustang Mach-E. Okay, there's like so many things wrong here in my head. First off, electric vehicles are fine. And I have no problem that it's Mustang-inspired. I have no problem that it's an SUV. I have no problem that it's an electric vehicle that nobody's going to make any money on because no one makes money on electric vehicles. I have no problem to even put horses on the front and the rear to be inspired by Mustang and that it looks like a Mustang. That's fine. Don't call it a Mustang. So there, this is where we ran into an interesting conversation. I talked to the people at Ford all the way to the top. I'm talking to people like Bill Ford and such saying, why would you use the word Mustang? Ford Mach-E? Fine. Mustang inspired? Great. Looks fine. Just cut that word Mustang out and you've got a winner. And he said, no. We have to put it in like Porsche does for Cayenne. I'm like, no, I own a Porsche Cayenne. And that's not what that's about. It looks like a 911, but it's an SUV. It's inspired. It does not say 911 anywhere on the vehicle or in the vehicle. Even the interior is similar, but it's not a 911. And so this is the problem. They don't get it. And I know who it was that insisted on making this the word Mustang. As far as I'm concerned, I would fire them for this because the feedback has been negative amongst the enthusiasts and people that know nothing about Mustang and its heritage and the fact that it was a secretary's car. It was Lee Iacocca's success for Ford. Ford was getting their butt kicked by GM and they needed something, and the Mustang was what they came up with. And it's all about performance and collectability and longevity and heritage and racing, and they bring out an electric car. What are they doing? And using the word Mach is a big contentious issue also because that usually meant the performance trim level. And then offering a color called Grabber Blue, which is this like medium bright blue, is also only known. You could only get it in the 60s and 70s on performance trim levels, but they're offering it across the full product line. So again, they've really upset the Mustang Club of America, the Shelby Club, all the Mustang enthusiasts. And I said, did you not do a focus group? And they said, yeah, we did. And I'm like, who did you invite? A bunch of kids that know nothing about what Mustang and Shelby's are all about.
A bunch of GM owners.
A bunch of people that want to really screw you over. And basically they looked at me and said, no, we know what we're doing. I'm like, okay. And I'm out. That's where I stopped because I knew right there that was a huge mistake. But we'll see what happens. They're never going to make any money on this. They had to have spent $5-6 million bringing everybody out early. People in from all across the world, this big reveal. I have a live feed if you want to see it on my YouTube page. Just go to Car Coach Reports and you'll see it on my website also. And if you really want to see it, I've had like 50,000 people come and look at it. But the big feedback from those car enthusiasts that are real car enthusiasts say, what the hell is Ford doing? I was teasing with a friend of mine at GM. I said, you should have the Corvette SUV and the Camaro crossover. And he started laughing at me. He's an executive. He's like, yeah, we're not doing that. I said, yeah, I'm sure you're not. That's how dumb this is. But, you know, I have no problem with the car. If they drop the name Mustang, sell it as a Mach-E and say it's inspired, fine. But they got to figure this out. And I think they're going to find out the hard way, because there's not one car manufacturer on the planet that has made money on an electric vehicle. They all take losses. And because of that, you're seeing manufacturers cutting back on their staff. Blue collar, white collar, executive level, everybody's cutting 10% because they're taking a loss on every electric car. How are you going to make that up? You can't cut the cost. So you got to cut someplace else. So it's the people, unfortunately. Very foolish move. They're going to be all going to be sorry they're doing this.
I agree. I want to talk a little about you say that there's nobody that makes money with electric cars, but that's wrong because Tesla makes money.
Yeah?
That's what we were told.
No, that's not really true. You know that. Tesla's got this interesting thing. He's the Pied Piper. He says he makes money, but really what he does is for every vehicle he sells, he gets X amount of carbon credits. And a lot of manufacturers don't get the same amount because he made a deal with the California government, or the state of California. So he now sells those extra carbon credits to other car manufacturers. That's where he makes his money. He takes a loss of $26,000 on every car. So if you're taking a loss of $26,000, how do you make it up? Well, supply and demand of carbon credits. So he gets tons of carbon credits on each vehicle that's sold, and he uses that money to sell to other car manufacturers to fund his company. So he really doesn't have a profit on the car itself. And I'm not saying he's a bad marketer. Actually, he's a genius marketer, because people drink his Kool-Aid, and he brought that ugly cyber truck out. I laughed. I actually laughed. I said, that is totally illegal. The Department of Transportation will never allow that to hit the streets, because there are regulations for anybody who works in engineering. There are regulations. You cannot have flat windshields and flat panels because of pedestrians and other vehicles. So if you've got flat panels and you hit a person, you're going to kill them. And not because you get hit by crossing a crosswalk by someone, you're going to be hurt. But if you're going to start hurting other people and hurting other vehicles, the design is very childish. I think a three-year-old could probably draw that.
I thought it was a stealth bomber. That's what I thought when I seen it. You know, with the
cut-up panels
like that.
He talked to DeLorean's ghost. He said, I'm thinking a DeLorean, which is all stainless. We're mixing it with a Pontiac Aztec, the ugliest car ever made. I'm sorry if you own one, but they are. Everybody on that team got fired. Do you know that? That whole Pontiac Aztec team, when they showed that car, they all got fired. The designers, the salespeople, the brand managers, everybody. Mix that with a Honda Ridgeline, and that's what you got.
Oh, you crack me up, Lauren. You crack me up.
I'm sorry. I get all fired up.
No.
I have a whole review on that. There's a lot of falsifications on this Cybertruck, because when he says, oh, I've got 250,000 deposits or reservations, I said, you know, you can make a reservation at a restaurant, but you don't have to show up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And they said that on the Model 3, they had 300,000 reservations, of which less than a third of them actually turned into sales. But no one knows. So here's the thing. He doesn't disclose real numbers. He just puts out a tweet, says, I got 200,000 reservations. You can say he has a gajillion. Who's going to dispute him? Nobody knows. So it's all marketing. It's all marketing. Don't get tricked by drinking the Tesla Kool-Aid.
Well,
you think I got an opinion on that?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, Lauren, as always, it's great fun having you on the program. For folks with more information about the Car Coach, where can they go?
You can go to my website, carcoachreports.com. Follow me on all forms of social media. You name it, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I'm there at Lauren Fix.
Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
That's our good friend Lauren Fix, the Car Coach, and you can always check out her stuff. She's got some great stuff on there, and as you well know, I knew that'd get her fired up about the Tesla. That's for sure. Folks, we got some folks that are on hold, so let's go ahead and how about we talk to Sandy. Hi, Sandy. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hi. I've got a 2002 Buick LeSabre.
Okay.
The wipers keep doing this really weird thing. Like, they started going on and off with their own mindset.
Okay.
Took them in, put in a new motor. Then the one on the right stopped working, so he tightened it up. And then it stopped working again, but the motor was good, but the signal wasn't coming through. So it stopped again. I thought I'd call in and see if you got any ideas.
Well, it's probably going to be the wiper switch, I would think, that's on the is your wiper switch on your turn signal?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I would think that's probably what it is. Now, again, I didn't diagnose it, so,
right.
You know, I you know really need to see it. But, it, you know, if you're not happy, I mean, I would always take it somewhere else and get a okay. second opinion or something else. I mean, that's, you know, you got to have good wipers. They got to work properly.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I was thinking of. Anyway, thanks for the confirming.
All right, no
thanks.
Problem.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andy. Bye. Let's talk to Craig real quick. Hi, Craig. You're up next on the KMOX Auto Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a 2010 Mercury Milan. It's been a great car, but I have a Gremlin somewhere.
Okay.
I keep getting a tire pressure monitor fault message.
Okay.
And it's intermittent.
Okay.
And it fixes itself. Anyway, I was at a place that had a handheld gizmo, and they went around and checked it. And, you know, each tire was given off goofy indications. One, they, he said, wasn't working at all, and one was working. The other two were, you know, some sort of strange readings. But here's the gimmick. It only presents itself when it's wet outside.
Okay.
And I'm not super familiar with the tire pressure monitor system, but it's inside the tire. It shouldn't be getting wet. Any thoughts on this?
Well, it's not the sensor that's getting wet. It's because probably the tire is spinning at a different rate. That's what's going on with it. So just real quick, those sensors actually have a battery that's inside that sensor, and those batteries tend to go out. So being the age of your vehicle, I would think your batteries are probably starting to wear out a little bit. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and that's why you're getting the light. But somebody's going to have to diagnose it. Craig, thanks for the phone call, and thanks to everybody here that has joined us today on the program. It's always a lot of fun here on the KMOX Auto Show. Don't forget, you can always email me, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, or you can always join us on the program. We love talking to the folks out there. You guys got some great questions. I want to thank Gary Patterson. Thanks, Lauren Fix, as well. Thanks, our producer, Zach, tonight here. All sorts of great stuff coming up on KMOX. We'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.